One, two, three, and to the four. What is up, my friends? Today, it's Friday, February 23rd, and this is Season 3, Episode 37 and Episode 137 in total of Nothing But a Futt Thing, the show brought to you by a few friends in the Futt community just like yourselves. I'm your host, Kevin. However, I am not alone today. Joining me are my two co-hosts, Martin.
What's up? How are you guys?
And filling in for the wonderful John, who we miss greatly, is Dan. What's up, man? How you doing, dude?
Hello, hello.
Yeah, so Dan, go ahead. We've heard you here on the pod before. You're a goat. I love your streams. But please plug yourself where we could find you and those streams. And I want to talk about what you're streaming today a little later on. We'll mention that, of course. But yes, where can we find you, man?
Sure thing. You can find me on Twitch at Dan Mian, so DanDanMian with an underscore at the end.
Yes, and do follow him on Twitch, because you're competing. Well, you know what, we'll just mention now, you're competing in the Streamers World Cup, which is very interesting and I'm a part of, so I will be there later today. But Futt Fantasy dropped today. It is back, one of our favorite one of the popular promos in FIFA. At least the first year was out, the second year maybe wasn't as popular, but is it hitting those same heights again? We will talk about that, because the exchange SBCs are back. The biggest news of today, the best SBC in the game has returned, of course. There is also that Timo Werner, which did come, as well as the objective. I will try to say her name. Maybe Izagirre, maybe? Izagirre? Maybe you can help me more.
Izagirre, yeah.
Oh, okay, there we go, yeah. So that card is there, as well as a new evolution, which we will talk about, of course. So, you know what, before we start talking about everything here, we did mention this before the podcast, we're chatting a little bit. Timo Werner's SBC did come. He is 4-star, 5-star. He can potentially get up to 4 upgrades. So we're talking about that. We're saying, oh, you know, is he worth it? Is he not? And is it possible for him to actually get upgraded in, like, a reasonable amount of time? So, Dan, you pointed out to me that Spurs do play a bit and that there's an international break, though, in between all those games. So when does that happen? Do you know?
Yeah, so it looks like the international break is happening kind of the weekend of the 23rd and the 24th of March. Spurs play 3 games before then. They play Crystal Palace at home, Aston Villa away, and Fulham away. And their 4th game after the break is Luton at home. So, decent. I mean, kind of Aston Villa card, but...
Yeah, doable. I mean, Villa away is probably tough, but that is doable, I feel like, right? So, I don't know. I was saying with a plus 2 or 3, he would look, I think, look really good. But, Martin, you raised another point, though, right? You're like, does this get in over other cards that I have? And then you're also saying, maybe I shouldn't care. I don't know. So, what are you thinking, man?
First of all, I think the price of the SBC has a couple of upgrades built into it. Mm-hmm. The card itself right now doesn't look like the type of card that would get into many people's teams, although he has a double playstyle plus. I think it's chip shot and power shot, which are both nice. But stats-wise, I think what stands out is obviously the pace and the fact that he has a 5-star weak foot. But other than that, I think people have better cards in their teams already. And what I've seen going on lately on Twitter is people just going for different teams. You know, they're trying to bring back some of the fun that EA has taken from us ever since maybe Team of the Year, post Team of the Year. The hangover has been brutal, and people are trying to find ways to have some fun in the game, and maybe this Werner could be a good card for that purpose. I don't know exactly what the upgrade path is. I don't know if any of you guys have it there, but I believe that Werner has to give an assist or score a goal at least, and he's been on good form for Spurs. But then again, it's Timo Werner, and you don't know what's gonna happen with him. So I'd say, given the fixtures that Spurs have, and the form that Werner is on, he could get four upgrades, and if he does, then the card would be really good, especially because of the five-star weak foot and the pace. So I'm still not sure if I'm going to do it, but I'm gonna mark it as a favorite SBC and see what happens this week and maybe do the card and hope for some upgrades, because live cards are really fun and live promos are the most fun promos that EA put out. We saw it with Thunderstruck. It was a great promo, but we'll see if the international break doesn't ruin the vibes. What about you guys? What do you think about the SBC?
Yeah, Dan, are you considering this one at all?
I think maybe is probably the answer, right? I think I'll keep it there. It's out for 13 days as well, so you've got time to decide. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like Spurs play until like the 3rd of March. So they were meant to play Chelsea this weekend, but obviously there's a cup final. So you've got a bit of time to decide. I was hoping that like some of these cards that have come out, you might be able to get one or two games in before you can decide. Doesn't look like that's the case with Werner. I will say though, something that is interesting me about this card is just the regular play styles he has. He's got technical, he's got rapid, he's got first touch, quick step, and relentless. So they're pretty good. I'm actually quite a big fan of first touch. And technical is always good, rapid's always good, quick step's always good. So it actually does look a pretty decent card. So maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he looks good, man. And I mean, I actually think he looks good. And so he's been playing a lot on the left for Spurs. And I don't know. So I'm thinking that maybe he does have like a realistic chance. So it says he's played 5 matches. He's only got 2 assists, a very small sample size. Hard to tell if that really says if he's going to get a goal or assist, right? But I feel like this guy is low-key, like, Spurs, like, one of the best crossers that they have. Like, he's really good. I didn't realize he had this, like, ability, to be honest. So, he's I've liked him so far for Spurs. Maybe it's possible. I don't know. I mean, that he gets his upgrade. But based on the games you're talking about, that does seem like a very, like, doable, like, run of fixtures, right? Like, I don't think that's, like, impossible to say that they don't get out with those with at least some upgrades there for them. And the upgrade path is this. For attackers and midfielders, the player must score or assist in the next 4 games. To get another upgrade, the club needs to win 2 of the next 4 domestic league games. So that's the games we're talking about. To get another upgrade, the player needs to make 3 appearances in the next 4 domestic league games. Last weekend, Werner did not start, but he did come on. And then the week before, he did start on the left. The last one is the club scores 11 goals in the next 4 domestic league games. So I don't know how doable that one is. That is actually really, like, kind of crazy, I think. That last upgrade is really tough to get, I think.
Only Liverpool's going to get that.
Of course, right? If only the game against Chelsea this weekend counts, because then Liverpool's going to score a boatload, right? But that's 3 goals a game, right, over 4 games, at least. I mean, basically. So that's pretty tough, but I think, again, that fixture list is doable, and even without the upgrades, he looks fun. He has the foot heritage, and like you mentioned, Dan, the play styles. He has, like, all of, like, basically all relevant ones to having, like, a quick guy run up and down the line, basically. So if that's what you're looking for, I'm sure he's going to be great, and his stats suggest that he should be good in front of goal, too. So Werner looks all right to me, especially with the upgrades. His composure will go up a bit, too. Reaction's already at 91. They'll go really high, so could be a cool card, I guess, right? But we also got the rest of the promo, of course. It's not just Timo Werner's promo. We got a full team. Normally, I hand this part over to John, and then he starts telling us about the team. But let me ask you guys if you guys are interested in this, and we could do the classic game that we like to do.
Sorry to cut you off. I have a question for you guys. I don't know if you guys have the answer, but let's say Spurs win 2 in the next 4 games, and then Werner gets the 3 appearances, and Tottenham score the 11 goals in the next 4 games, but Werner doesn't get the assist or the goal. What happens then? Does he get 3 upgrades, or does the first upgrade unlock the rest of them? You guys know?
I get what you're saying, because the way that the graphics are all drawn out explaining the upgrade path, it looks like you have to, it's a linear path, like you have to get that first upgrade to get the rest, right? I know what you mean. So good question. I assume he gets all of them, right?
Yeah, I assume he'll get all of them. Like, I know what you mean, like all the graphics have it on a straight line, right? But then if you look at the description in game, it's almost like a list of things that he can do, right? It's like, if he does this, then he'll get a plus one. So I assume it'll be the latter, in that he can
get... So he would, in theory, he'd get like a plus three if things happen the way I mentioned them, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Yeah, so I feel like two or three is doable from these, right? Like two or three upgrades is probably doable from that. So yeah, it looks cool. But so anyways, for the rest of the team here, we do normally play try, trust, or trash. Fuck, marry, or kill. So let's start off with this one. Let's start off with the try. And we haven't really talked about the team too much, but there is a set of heroes. There is a set of promo cards. And of course, Ferland Mendy is in it again. Of course he is. So let me ask you, Dan, who would you like to try? Who do you like to take out for a test spin?
Who would I like to take out for a test spin? I'm just having a look at the team now. I would like to try Marchisio, and I know he's extinct, he's very expensive, but I had him in FIFA, I want to say 21, and he was in my midfield for a hell of a long time. And yeah, I'd like to give him a spin. He looks pretty good. He's 89 rated currently, extinct on the market. I don't know why he's got a 95,000 coin price range. That makes no sense at all. But his playstyle with pluses are anticipate plus and block plus, and he's got like a whole bunch of other normal play styles: incisive, long ball, intercept, flare, press proven, relentless. He looks good. He's got that foot heritage for me, at least. And yeah, I'd be keen to try him out.
Wait, what is that price range? Like,
I just saw that. 95,000, yeah. Like, I don't know what they're thinking.
Yeah. Damn, free coins for the bots, I guess. Well, Martin, how about you? Who would you like to try from this promo?
I'd like to try out Nadine Kessler. Because I've heard many people, including you, say that she's really good in game, and I know we have a collection of CMs and CDMs and whatever to choose from, but she's a new card added to the game this year, and yeah, I'd like to try her. She has some interesting play styles, Relentless Plus, which is awesome. I love it. She has Truvella Plus, which is, I don't know, whatever for me, because I think I've scored two Truvellas the whole cycle, so who cares? But she also has Intercept, Jockey, First Touch, Incisive Pass, and Long Ball Pass, and Flare, but whatever, Flare. So she has some really nice base play styles as well for a CM. And yeah, her stats look really good. Maybe she could use some agility and balance, but her passing is really good for a CM. The strength is decent. The finishing is good for a CM, and the pace is enough to play in that position. So yeah, Kessler looks very interesting. How about you, bro, Kevin?
Yeah, so mine is, so this will link to an SBC that I got done this week, which, by the way, last week I said it was a terrible SBC, like it's a crazy SBC. who the hell is doing this SBC? So I did Lauren Hemp last week, of course, and now to link to her, Chloe Kelly has come. The thing is, she's 1.8 million and extinct, so that's not getting our hands on this card anytime soon, but she looks great. Rapid plus, whipped pass plus, 4-star, 5-star. She looks amazing. I mean, her card looks insane. So if I could somehow get my hands on this card, I would be very happy. And the two Man City wingers were really cool at the start of the year. You'd have Hemp and Kelly on either side, and they both hit in the whipped passes, and they're awesome and really OP, and we all love the whipped pass plus. And yeah, this would be mine. I mean, a fun card. Again, women are new to the game. It's just fun, right? So that one is an easy choice, I think, for myself. But now we're moving on to the marriage part. So as John says, Mr. Marriage himself, Martin, can you go ahead and select the one that you would like to marry? Who would you like to marry to your club?
I have zero doubts about this one, and it's going to be Ibrahima Konate, center back for Liverpool, having one hell of a season for us. He looks awesome. He has Relentless Plus and Bruiser Plus, which are both really good. I've noticed that with some of the center backs, in my case, the at least the ones that we were using at the start of the game and then maybe mid-cycle too, stamina was an issue. Even with Saliba, with the honorable mentions, stamina is an issue for me at the end of the game. And having Relentless Plus on a CB is just awesome. And then he has the rapid base play style, as well as jockey, block, aerial, first touch, pink pass, and slide tackle. So he looks like a beast, and he's probably a beast in game. Liverpool do have a decent... Well, he does have a decent chance at getting at least three upgrades, I'd say. I don't know the fixtures exactly for the next four games, but yeah, maybe the clean sheet will be a bit tricky, but yeah, Konate is my choice. How about you, Dan?
You stole my choice there. I would have loved Konate. So no, it's fine. Just quickly on the fixtures for Liverpool. Aside from playing City in 2 weeks, I think. It looks pretty achievable. We're playing Forest away, Everton away, and Brighton at home. So three up.
Nice.
Yeah. But who would I marry? Look, I'm going to go for Ferland Mendy, the best left back in the game, no doubt. He's probably clear of Carlos, clear of Davies. It's Ferland Mendy, right? He's always crazy. He's also currently extinct at 3.8 mil. So I probably won't be able to afford him, but... I don't know. If I pack him, I'll be pretty happy. He's got kind of pretty good play styles. He has less defensive play styles than I would typically like, but it's a fullback. It's not too bad. He's got slide tackle plus. He's got quick step plus, so he's going to be lightning quick. And his normal play styles are pinged pass, block, rapid flare, and relentless. I've got a couple Real Madrid links in my team. I did do the Athenea Evo card as well for the Real Madrid. French links are always there, so I would marry Ferland Mendy.
Yeah, and surely going to get some upgrades, right? So looking good. I saw someone post on Twitter that he's better than Teo Hernandez team of the year, but his Dynasties card. So, probably the best left back in the game, right? But for me, I know who I'm going to marry. It's going to be... Mr. Hotline, you can't see it. I'm doing the Griezmann hotline bling thing. So Griezmann is going to be my man. Finesse plus, technical plus, 5-star skills, and extinct at 5.7 million. So we're not going to get our hands on him, but hopefully can pack him. Like, I mean, it's Griezmann, right? I love this guy in game. Like, you just, after you score a goal, you just hit A and he does like a couple different celebrations. He'll do the baby shark one. He'll do the hotline bling. Like, he's just a cool dude. I really like him. He's a ton of fun to use in the game. The finesse plus, I mean, is awesome. He's been upgraded to 5-star, 4-star. That's pretty good. I mean, definitely very good. He was 4-star, 3-star previously, so a big upgrade there. This guy. So a lot of tactics that I build, I will have, and John refers to it too as the floating LCM, like the get forward center mid that's often on free roam. The original floating LCM is Griezmann. He is my original floating LCM was Antoine Griezmann. I did this a long time ago, except he was playing on the right. He cut inside, hit the finesses and everything. So he's back. We're going to use him. We're going to marry him. And actually, I realized when going through this to decide who to marry, this team was a little better than I thought at first. At first, I was kind of like, eh. But I'm realizing there's a lot of options I would marry because we were going to miss out on a few that we'll mention after all this probably. So we missed out on a few really good cards. But this brings us to the unsavory portion of this exercise, the killing. So who would you like to kill? For whatever reason, it could be performance-based or you just don't like the guy. So we're going to send this over to you, Dan. Who are you throwing in the trash?
I'm going to throw Benjamin Andre, so the CDM from Lille. look, I've got nothing against the guy. I'm sure he's a lovely guy, but I just packed him way too many times in Team of the Year last year. That's basically it, right? I saw him so many times during League One, our Team of the Year, and yeah, I just don't really like that guy, all because of that.
Yeah. I mean, his name would be cooler if he was Andre Benjamin instead. anyways, I feel like Outcast, but Martin, what about you, man?
This is a tough one because I was also looking at the team and there aren't many, you know, bad cards that you could pack, but one that stands out as being one of the least desirable ones was Andre, and Dan already killed him, so I can't kill him twice. So I'm going to go with Sandra Starke, the striker for, what is it, Leipzig, female team. And the only thing that I'm going to say here is 77 composure on a striker. You're dead. Bye. And yeah, one play style. So yeah, Starke. I bet Andre and Starke are going to be packed a lot this week. And if you see blue flares, it's probably going to be one of them. But yeah, I'm going to go with her. How about you, bro, Kevin?
So you guys kind of took, I mean, there aren't too many bad cards, actually. You guys kind of took a few of the shittier ones, I would say. So I'm going to go with this one kind of preemptively. This is a little bit for you, Martin, because you probably wouldn't like this guy, if knowing that you like HSV. So we're going to trash Çalhanoğlu, the traitor. Yeah. The traitor, of course, yes. So send him into the trash. I've seen him packed a lot. He's 320K now, and I'm not sure how, because I've seen a ton of people pack him already. Also, his card doesn't look that, like, I mean, it's not bad, but it's not amazing either. So happy to throw him in the trash. Çalhanoğlu, and again, a traitor, so we don't like this guy. Easy to throw him in the trash, of course. I don't know. I'm actually surprised he's 320K. This card doesn't look that... Am I crazy? This card looks way overpriced for what he offers.
I think the upgrades are probably built into the price right now, right? Like, for Inter, they should be able to get the +4, or at least the +3.
He has the long ball plus. I think a lot of people like that.
Yeah, I guess maybe not HSV or Milan fans then, of course. But that brings an end to this exercise. But I want to mention all the cards that were in there, because we had some really good ones that we didn't mention. So we'll show them some love. There was the Grealish, which is really expensive. The Pack Prelish, the cutback merchant. Lizarazu, number 69 at Bayern. De Ligt is in there too. Actually, his card looks amazing. No one picked up on De Ligt, and I thought he looked amazing. Futre is back in. Carlos Tevez is in. Marquinhos is in as well. This guy, I mean, PSG links, right? And then Company, Voller are there as well. So a lot of actually really good cards. Like, if I packed any of these, I'd be happy with these. Yeah. So that's...
Politano too.
Yeah, Politano's in there. And he's actually one of the cheaper options, right? I think it was like 25K I saw. So that's... promo might be a little more exciting than I first thought, to be honest. I was kind of meh. Now, like, eh. Not bad.
Yeah. I was going to say Marquisio looks like the best CM in the game, I'd say, right now. Or at least top five. If you look at his stats, and he has the anticipate that everyone likes, including me, the anticipate plus, intercept, relentless, long ball pass, incisive pass, press proven. So, that looks like one hell of a card.
Yeah, I mean, Marquisio, so he's one that people tend to like a lot, right? So I'd be interested to see how that card is. I've never got to try him in game. I know John has, and I think John actually didn't like him. So I'd be interested to see how this card is. He looks awesome, I agree. And that the Trash Panda, of course, right? The Trash Panda Plus is the one that we're all excited about. But so the upgrade path actually does seem like sort of like possible to achieve. And I was kind of worried about that, because last year, I know that was the big problem for me, was the fact that by the time the upgrades happened, they literally didn't matter. It was like Tots already, pretty much, or like we're on the doorstep of Tots, right? So I think people didn't care too much. So I don't know. Initial thoughts, guys, what are we saying? How's the promo looking to you guys? Because last time we did this, we screwed up. We said, this looks amazing. And then the promo went to shit, which was team of the year. So let me ask you, Martin, what's up?
Yeah, I was going to say last year we had really high hopes for this promo, based on the experience from FIFA 22, which was the first time this promo came out, and it was awesome, probably best promo of the year. And then last year, it didn't live up to the expectations. And one thing that happened last year, too, was there was an international break. And I think sometimes that cuts away some of the hype for these cards. And as you say, the upgrades take longer to be achieved. And I hope that's not the case this time. But generally speaking, I think the player selection is really nice. You have some of the more meta options. But you also have some really nice players that don't get many promo cards. I wasn't excited before we started recording, but now I am a little bit more. I hope they bring out some good SBCs. I think there's rumors of two hero SBCs that are supposedly gonna come out. Let's hope they pick some good ones. But yeah, really nice promo, at least now. What do you think, Dan?
Yeah, look, I mean, I love a live card promo. I think live cards are always really good fun. If I had to, put it on a scale, I reckon Thunderstruck this year, easy 10. Like, I loved that promo. The upgrade run was good. The cards were awesome. And then we recently had Road to the Final, which was at best like a 2, right? Cards were impossible to pack. So I'm going to put it right in the middle of that. I'm going to say 6 out of 10. There's potential to go up if SBCs are good this week, if the upgrades are good this week. But yeah, I'm feeling cautiously optimistic. 6 out of 10, I reckon. How about you, Kev?
Yeah, I'm kind of with you, the whole cautiously optimistic, because every time, every time we get excited, they've almost sort of pulled the rug out from under us, except it's not so dramatic. It's very just subtle. They just stop doing anything. Like, they just, it's like, okay, it's, you know, and which is kind of what happened during Road to the Final. It feels like nothing happened. Like, I know they literally did drop content, but nothing engaging anybody, and why would they be engaged? Because those cards were impossible to pack. For cards that weren't exactly Team of the Year level, they were Team of the Year level drop rates. It felt like almost that to that extent, right? So I will remain cautiously optimistic, but I would say this much. The Cup, guys, the Cup, unlimited games, that's great. So now we can, and they've given more rewards too. I don't know if you saw that. Like in the Cup, there's one like, I think it was like score 40 goals is one of them. Like there's packs for that. You get 85 times 10 at the end. There's no daily games limit, which is the most annoying thing of all about the Cup. So, yeah, that part is really good. That's got to be like one of EA's biggest W's of recent times for sure, is the removal of the limit of the Cup, I think, anyways.
Yeah, I think the Cup is really good. It's a good alternative to people that don't want to play Weekend League, especially with the way gameplay has been this week or these past couple of weeks. Some people have been a little bit reluctant to engage in gameplay. And the Cup is a good alternative, you know, no pressure, no game limit. You can just go out and hammer some games and see what happens. You know, you guys mentioned there's a squad rating limit, right?
Oh, yep. Yes.
Max 86, I think it is. Yeah.
Yeah, fun team, so right?
So. That's nice. Yeah. I think that's good.
Yeah, I like when they do that. It's just it forces you to use players that are different, although of course people are just gonna bronze bench, but I assume, right? But still, I mean,
cool. I think on the bronze benching thing though, there is also another requirement where you can't have any players rated over 88.
Okay.
Yeah. Nice.
So that'll actually be like, it'll probably take me like 20 minutes just to construct a team that I'm happy with. But at least it's max chemistry, so you don't really need to care about that.
Wow, EA doing well on this one, I guess. But what they're not doing so well on anyways, at least it sounds like from the community, is gameplay. So that I kind of laughed at what you mentioned there, Martin. You basically said that they're not enticing people to play or maybe many people aren't enticed to play gameplay. So maybe you could share a little bit of your thoughts on that and maybe what you've noticed floating around the community, things that are being said right now.
There's been a common trend among the people that are active on Twitter, on our Twitter friends, and that's the fact that gameplay has not been good and mostly it's been inconsistent. At least that's been my experience. Starting from last weekend, the weekend league, I started my weekend league on Saturday and the gameplay was good. Then I played some games on Sunday and it was not the same as it was on Saturday. So it's been inconsistent. And the fact that you don't know what type of game you're going to play when you turn on your console is really demoralizing for people that enjoy this game, because I do like playing it despite what some people might think or say about this. I do like this game and I hope that they can find a way to make gameplay more consistent. I think what most people have said is that it's been like this since the latest patch, and to be honest, when they dropped the patch, the first week or so, I didn't feel much change from the game that I was playing previously. But this week has been terrible, and playoffs were a nightmare. I was having trouble moving my players, getting up passes. You know, it's not been a good experience. What do you guys think?
Yeah, Dan, what are you thinking, man?
Yeah, I mean, look, I've seen a lot of this on Twitter, like the gameplay is horrible, and I've also watched it on stream. Like, I can see it with my own eyes that it's bad. I think I've been lucky that I haven't really felt that there's been actually a change in my gameplay. Like, I still get games which are terrible, which are really laggy, which are really, like, delayed. I also get games which are perfectly fine as well. So I think I'm probably in the minority here, at least on Twitter. I will say one thing, though, is that even though I feel that way about the gameplay, I am feeling a lot less engaged with the game in general. Definitely Road to the Final, even like Future Stars, week two especially, I would like hop on every day. I'd play my three games for the daily play objective. I'd do like an Evo with those kind of three games, and then I'd hop off. And that's basically it. Like, I'd do the daily gold upgrades and stuff. It's almost like I'm doing homework, right? Like, this is the minimum stuff that I have to do to keep up the grind. And it also scratches an itch for me as well. So that's kind of how I've been engaging with the game. There's been no real incentive for me to, A, improve at the game. Like, I know Rivals in, like, Div 2, you get, like, what, an 82-10 or something? That just doesn't really excite me, right? But that said, and I'd be keen to hear all your thoughts on this, though, is that I've got friends of mine who are far more casual about this game, right? They don't listen to podcasts. They don't really watch much content on YouTube, but they do hop on. They've got an Ultimate Team, and they literally only play like a couple games a day, if not like every couple days. So is it just that because we're so hardcore, we're just reverting back to being more casual rather than us being disengaged, right? Because I would say all my friends are engaged with the game, just not to the level that we are. What do you guys think?
I mean, I think that it's definitely, there's probably a lot healthier the level of engagement, because I'm with you. I'm at the same like point, sort of, right? And I'm remaining engaged with the game, but I think, yeah, maybe you're right. I think maybe this is what we should be doing. I don't know. Maybe we are reverting to being more casual too, because honestly, dude, it changed for me after Team of the Year, dude. That was just like, I don't know. I don't know if I like held out hope that EA would nail it. I was saying this is the promo that they could never get wrong, and then they still got that one wrong, and everything from this year just like it all hit me at once. I don't know what it was. Maybe I'm just mad, but yeah. Well, Martin, what do you think, man? I'm interested to hear.
I think it's a combination of many factors. I'd say it's probably the gameplay aspect where people don't enjoy the game itself when they play it because of the inconsistencies that we find, and the fact that you can't properly play the game sometimes. But I've been thinking about this a lot, and I feel like our teams, and that's connected to what Dan said, the more hardcore players like us, and like probably most of the people that listen to this podcast or have a FIFA Twitter account or watch YouTube or streams or whatever, their teams are probably pretty stacked at the moment, you know, in every position. And that makes it difficult for people to enjoy the content, you know. That makes it difficult for people to get excited about the content, because the common thing that you see is, whoa, but does he get into my team? And man, I don't know, probably not, because your Eusebio or your Mbappe is probably going to be better than Timo Werner. But that's the part of the game that's in our hands, you know, making it enjoyable by making changes and trying new cards. And, you know, that's up to us. The other part is up to EA. And I think the gameplay, we've complained about this at times during every edition of the game. So I don't know how they can make it better, but I hope they do. And a third element that I'd like to bring to the table, and maybe we can discuss this separately, is the fact that this year EA have been really aggressive with the store packs and with the money grab, and, you know, getting into people's pocket and playing with people's psychology and making them feel like the only way to truly enjoy this game and to pack the cards that everybody wants is by going to the store. So I don't know, what do you guys think about this?
I mean, I think that it is the only way, at least while the cards are still new. That's like the only way really to pack them. Eventually, you might be able to get them through gamble packs, things like that. But store packs, it's like literally the only way realistically to get them, right? Unless you do a crazy grind, eventually you might get lucky during one of the promos throughout the entire year. And that's if you're crazy grinding the entire year. So, yeah, what they've done. So, OK, from a power curve perspective, we're not touching on any of the moral issues that there definitely are there, but from the power curve perspective, if everyone has bought the packs throughout the entire year, which they've enticed many people to want to buy these $30-$40 crazy packs, every time you see them you go, holy shit, how is this in the store? This is too crazy to let people buy. We gotta buy it, it's so good. Of course our teams are gonna get to a point where we can't upgrade them anymore. We bought all the craziest packs of all time expecting to get something decent, right? So that did happen. And then also we did ask for the SBCs, of course, right, where we could put the fodder into, right? So which is, I think, a byproduct of these packs that they've pushed out to us, right? So it's crazy to me. So I mean, this happened to me last year where I got to a point where after team of the year, I don't want to really upgrade my team until TOTS. And I think that this is just, I mean, I don't know. I think that happened for me partially because of the crazy grind that I put in. I just got to a point where I couldn't improve my team anymore. But now, even if you didn't grind to that crazy extent, and if you did something like that last year, maybe you got bored of it, you started doing those side teams or RTGs or whatever. I don't know. Anyways, I think that what they've done here is they've pushed everyone to this point, and then now what, right? So we're on this point of now what? And forget all of that. Now we're also going to touch on the whole moral issues here, because I feel like EA have really done everything within their power to make people feel itchy, to feel antsy, to play at all of your any addictive, you know, tendencies that anyone has in them to get them to buy a store pack. Look at the packs when they open. It's like a fucking slot machine every time it opens. It has all the bells and whistles that get you excited when you've gambled and you just turned your $1 into $1.50 and you go, oh my God, at the slot machine, you're going crazy. That's the exact same feeling. If anyone has ever sat as a slot machine and you've multiplied your money, whatever amount, it could go from $1 to $10, it's the exact same feeling. I'm telling you, it is the exact same feeling as packing something. It's crazy to me. And EA definitely know this. I know that they have the best psychologists working on this, because why wouldn't they? I mean, why wouldn't they, right? So they make sure to make everyone feel like we got to buy the packs. And I think everyone feels that way too. So, I mean, I mentioned on Twitter, I'm not going to buy FIFA points anymore. I'm someone that has always said, you know, it's a hobby. Spend your money how you feel like. You know, we're adults here. We have disposable income. But I've got to the point where I feel like EA do not care at all about anyone's experience on this game, because why should they? We're all buying the packs, right? So I'm done. And not because I think my voice is gonna like make a difference here, but more so just because I've had enough. Like, it's crazy. Like, it's fucking disgusting actually what they're doing. So
I thought you were gonna start a movement there, Kev.
Yeah, no, it's been started for a long time, but the problem is we're too big of crybabies to have known about it. Yeah. So
there you go.
Yeah, but yeah, that's where I'm at right now. It's crazy.
I think one of the things that I've seen a lot recently is people openly talking about being addicted to FIFA points, something that is kind of new. I haven't seen people talk about this being an addiction in such an open way. I think we've seen that a lot recently, and I can't help to feel bad about the people that have gone through that or that are going through that, because I know and I've witnessed what addiction can do to you, and it doesn't matter if you're a drug addict, an alcoholic, or whatever. Addiction is not a good situation to be in. And people, I've read people wasting their money on points and having their family suffer because of that. And it's really worrying. And I don't want to put the responsibility on EA, but I mean, corporations have a certain responsibility, whether it's to be environmentally friendly or to be socially, you know, give back to communities that they work in. I don't know, man. But with EA, it seems like they are just a greedy corporation that doesn't really care about their consumers, you know?
Yeah. I think that what they're going to do here, it looks like to me, is they're going to milk this as much as possible, because surely eventually regulation comes in. There's got to be at some point where like some sort of like gambling commission comes in, because let's be real, this is gambling. I mean, it's definitely gambling, except you don't get money back out of it. I get 85 rated fodder or whatever, right? Or actually, hopefully better than that, but still, it sucks, right? So what I'm getting back for my money. So I think until that happens, though, EA, I don't think they're going to change, right? Like, until they're forced to, right? I don't know, Dan. I see you shaking your head. What are you saying?
Yeah, I mean, I think for us, like all of us, you know, work, we are grown-ups, like I think we know how to curb bad habits if need be. But I think the thing that's really concerning for me is that there's a lot of young kids who play this game. They watch content creators spend thousands, and content creators can spend thousands because that's a business expense, and that's fine, right? But then that just encourages them, and like, I know a lot of people say, oh, it's on the parents to control this, but let's face it, parents can't be across everything that a kid does, right? I remember growing up, right, we would have a home computer, I'd be doing homework, in quotation marks, on the computer, and like, I would learn from friends at school, hey, there's this like program where if you press this shortcut, it can flip you to like a Word doc, when I was actually just playing a game on the side, right? And like, my parents, well, I don't think that they know. I should probably ask them, right? But like, things like this exist, right? So like, parents don't know everything. As much as they try to and like control it, they just won't, right? So as was said before, right, it's like, I think there is corporate responsibility needed here. Just like so many companies now are like, oh, we need to be environmentally friendly, we're trying to be net zero. Equally, I think they've got a responsibility here to make sure that you don't raise like a generation of kids who are just addicted to instant rewards and gambling. And I think that's what's most dangerous, right? And in terms of government regulation, it's coming, right? But as with any other regulation from the government, it's always delayed, right? Like right now in Australia, they're like only now talking about what the hell can we do about AI and all this kind of stuff. And they probably won't have anything in law until like, what, 5 or 10 years down the road. So I think EA really has to step up their game. They won't, right? Because it makes them a ton of money. Live service games in general make the gaming industry so much money. They've got no incentive to, but I don't know. I think if I worked there, I'd probably feel a bit bad about it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, surely they have some sort of like social responsibility here, I feel like, because like you said, they're raising a generation of gamblers, and it's actually crazy, though. When you look at the game, like the way that the game's set up, the way that at least a lot of us play, the people that do the whole untradeable thing, like, oh, I'm going to have a full untradeable team. A lot of us, the way we play the game is we grind away, get some rewards so we could eventually gamble those rewards into some sort of gamble pack, icon, PP, whatever. So it's actually very, it's crazy that, I don't know, it's crazy, I would say, right? And as for the whole addiction thing, so I feel like, listen, so I'm someone that has dealt with addiction personally in my life for a long time. I have not touched any drugs for a long time now, thankfully. But if gambling was something that did that for me, you know, the same thing that heroin does for me, if gambling was that, this game would be fucking amazing for that, because I could sink all of my money into it every single weekend, because this is literally a casino. This game is a fucking casino, and it's crazy. And I see why a lot of people are so disgruntled, like a lot of the player base that has been here for a long time, they're saying this game is turning into like Candy Crush or something, or like some sort of like you know, mobile game where it's like free. And actually the craziest thing is that this game is still $60 or $70, whatever it is now, right? And they still take all this money after the fact. At least those mobile games, they say it's free. It's free. You can watch a buttload of ads, or you could just buy everything, right? You could buy all your stuff with no ads. So it's actually crazy that EA's, they're very smart though, right? Because they've got me to pay like $100 for the Ultimate Edition so I can get it early. And then they've got money along the way for me as well, right? So they definitely know what they're doing here. And I can't even imagine how difficult this must be to resist. I mean, every time a promo, I don't know, man. I know how my mind works when I'm like in my whole addictive thing. And let me tell you, it does not surprise me at all that people have gone to, I don't know, they've suffered financially the way that they have from this game, because I can see how people don't think too rationally through addiction, and that it causes people to do crazy shit and spend a lot of money. And this game is so easy to do that at, because the thing is, if you want to go get heroin, it's actually harder. You got to go risk your life, go talk to some scary looking shady dude in the scary and shady part of town, and feel scared, you know, through the entire thing, just so you can get home and do it. This, you just turn on your console, your credit card's already in there. You just push A, you're good to go. That's actually crazy, man. So surely some sort of regulation has to come in, because like you guys said, it doesn't look like EA shows any sign of doing anything about it. They don't care. They just don't care. So I guess it is what it is. I don't know. I mean, they don't even seem to fix gameplay, so why would they care about our... I don't know. I mean, I guess this is a lot more important than gameplay. It's people's livelihoods. It's their mental health. But they've never shown any signs of caring at all about anybody, so why would they start now? But maybe government regulation comes in. I think that it has to happen eventually. This is gambling, surely, right? We've got to see something like that at some point. So I guess this is a matter of time before that does happen. I don't know. What's the future of the game, though? I mean, this game, to me, is like a 21-plus, 18-plus game, the way that it is right now.
Yeah, I honestly don't know, but we saw it last year at the end of the cycle, that they were kind of testing these new store packs, and you know, they start setting up their schemes, and they executed it perfectly this year. I think I've bought FC points, not that many. I'd say I'd probably spent like $200 on FC points, not counting the money that I spent on the game, which is also the Ultimate Edition. I don't feel guilty about it, but I do feel like shit whenever I buy a store pack. You know, it's weird, because you shouldn't feel like that. It's like probably someone who has an eating disorder goes out and gets a box of donuts and feels awesome when they buy the box, and then they feel like crap after eating them. And you know, that's not healthy, I'd say. And I've thought about that those feelings a lot, my feelings. And yeah, that's why I decided to stay away from points entirely. And I'd suggest that content creators, the smaller content creators, stop making giveaways that are based on points, or that are the price is points. I'd say that incentivizes this whole consumption of FC points, and we gotta start somewhere, and I'm gonna start on my own, not spending points, and yeah, trying to resist the urge to do that, because it's not healthy and it's not good. So yeah, I think that's my stance on FC points.
Yeah, I think a lot of people felt the way you felt too, though, right? Like, you feel, I don't know, Dan, have you felt this before? If you've ever bought FIFA points, you feel disgusting afterwards. So I don't know, maybe let me ask you, what do you think that comes from? Because I feel like maybe that's like, because you know, like, oh, the not the addiction necessarily is winning, but like that antsy, like feeling like, oh fuck, I gotta open this as winning, right? Maybe that's why we feel that way. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think in like previous FIFAs, like 14, 15, I did buy points, right? I at that stage, I had just started my first full-time job. I was also staying at home as well, right? So I didn't have really any expenses, right? So I just had a shit ton of like disposable income that I could use, right? So I did buy points. And that kind of disgusting feeling, it's the same thing you get from gambling as well, right? Is that you kind of, there's this rush and you're excited, but then when you get nothing at the end, you're like, oh crap, I just wasted like $100, $200. This year I have bought points, but not for packs, like just for Evo. So I've got like a stash of points that I have for if there's a cool Evo that I'm keen on doing, then I'll just use it on that. I don't have anything against that, because you know what you're getting, right? You see the card that you'll get at the end, that kind of thing. And I think that's a lot better, right? That's not gambling. Is it a good use of my money? Well, I don't know, right? It kind of resets at the end of the year, but it's not a terrible use of money, right? So Kev, you were asking before about the future of the game, right? I suspect, and this will be a long time in the future, because it'll take years for EA to debate with governments, and they'll have lawyers and everything like that. I suspect we're going to eventually move to a model where you're just buying cards off a store, right? Mm. You'll pay $800 or something for R9 or something. Now, if that's worth it, I don't know, but I suspect we'll end up there, right? Because loot boxes, I think they've already been banned in like Belgium or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I can see more and more countries doing that, because that's a pretty typical government thing to do when they don't know what the hell to actually do with the problem. Let's just make it illegal, right? And then we'll work out afterwards actually how to handle it, right? So I can see a future where we just buy cards off a store, and I don't know if this will help people spend less. I suspect people will end up spending more, because now they're like, oh my God, I just need to spend $1,000 and I'll get the best striker in the game. But that's, I think, a different problem which we'll have to tackle in a couple of years' time.
Yeah, no, and it's a good point that you raise, though, because I feel like we're almost like being conditioned into like, so like right now we're saying like, man, if I spend $1,000, I'm never getting the best card in the promo. But by then you see the best card in the promo for $1,000, you go, man, I'd be stupid not to buy this. Like, this looks like a great deal. So and EA did pretty well with the packs even to create that feeling, right? Because I feel like those were the packs that they tested like in the summer. We saw those packs and we go, man, I'd be stupid not to spend $10 on this. Like, come on. Like, this is amazing. This is an amazing deal. And maybe you do get something out of it. Maybe you don't, but either way, it definitely, it objectively, you are not stupid for not buying the pack, right? Like, you can definitely miss out and be okay. And so we got to keep that in mind, of course. But I do think that's what's going to happen. I agree with you. I'm sure we will see that. And I don't know if did we ask this on here before? I think I asked, what do you think people would pay for R9 on day one of the game? And I know people would pay thousands, I bet, for that on day one, like thousands, especially if you're a pro player. You probably see other pros buy the card, and you go, man, if I don't drop $4,000, I'm going to be behind the other pros, which is actually a valid point for the pro, right? And then they still have to build the rest of their team, which is, you know, going to cost them money. So, yeah. But I can definitely see that happening, and I definitely see them. Yeah, it's going to be, they're going to be like four figure cards, I think, in there for sure, right? So yeah. That's probably the future. I do see that.
I've got a question, and I mean, this is a bit more of a less serious point, right? So I know that in NBA 2K, as an example, right, there are special edition cards. So the card rating's exactly the same, but there's like a special picture of a certain player and there's a signature, right? And all of us love a cool dynamic, and like the aesthetic part of the game is actually pretty fun, right? I think the design team at EA actually do pretty well, right? I can see base R9, just his headshot there, costing like $1,000, but then there'll be a special edition R9 with like a gold flare or something, and like there's a signature on it, and that can be like 10 times the price. Like, would you guys, in a market where you can buy cards off of the market, would you get like a special signed 1 of 100 kind of card? Would you do that?
See, now you're talking to me, because I was going to say only if it's out of like 100 or out of 99 or something. So I'm a trading cards guy. I love trading cards. I like buying. I like opening the packs, but I like just owning the cards, right? And a lot of trading cards, like for example, like you'll have like it'll be like a Gakpo. This is his first card, and it's out of 75, right? And that's so much more appealing, because you're like, wow, I can be one of the 75 people that own this. Imagine you have on a card, it says like 63 out of 75 in the corner with his like signature over the top and everything. I would pay a lot more for that. I'm gonna be honest. I would pay a lot more money for that. A lot more coins. We're not buying FIFA points, right? Coins. We're gonna spend coins on that. And I would pay a lot more, actually, like I would for a card with a dynamic, right? So this just adds even more exclusivity, right?
Yeah. I like having cool dynamics on my cards as well. I know some people don't care about that, but I like card designs and dynamic pictures. I think it's really nice, and I like having a good color balance on my squad when I see it. I think that would be really interesting. I'd say make that a part of the game, but also having like a virtual Panini album or a virtual chest where you can just store your cards afterwards, and they become like NFTs or something like that. You know, get creative with that. I'd be on board. But if the card is gonna be worthless after the cycle ends, then that's a tough question. That's a really tough question.
Imagine though, there's like a sticker book that carries over every year. Oh. You get to slap a few stickers in and then just keep them there forever to look at.
That would be cool. But like, honestly, I don't see a way around having to reset people's clubs at the end of each
game. Yeah.
Like, that's just the nature of the sport itself, right? So, but yeah, like, if you could have like a Hall of Fame of all the cool cards, and then let's say next year you pack the same card, right? It'd be cool if all the stats continue to grow and add to it. I don't know why that's not a thing already, but yeah, that'd be cool for like nostalgia purposes. But yeah, I'm not too sure.
What if you could like at the end of the cycle choose to export certain amount of cards in your club onto your private, you know, I don't know, storage unit or whatever, and they become tradable in the real world with real money, then you could potentially invest in that R9 that you mentioned and pay $1,000 for that R9.
But I don't want to end like, I'm sorry, go for it, Dan.
I was just gonna say, like, can you imagine the future when there are like trading discords out there where like, buy this R9 for $1,000 now, in 2 years time it's gonna be worth 10 grand, like it's gonna go off.
I worry about that stuff because of all the stuff we mentioned earlier with money and things like that. They got to make the game 21 or 18 plus. If they do that, then I would actually love all this stuff, to be honest, because that would actually be cool. And I'm a guy that likes collecting crap, so I'm good with it. Actually, what you mentioned though, the game has to reset is the only problem every year, because Pez has this issue. I like Pez. I actually think the gameplay, call me crazy here, it's as fun as FIFA. It's, to me, they're both equally as fun. They're different. They're a lot different, but I have just as much playing fun playing each game. To me, the only difference is FIFA's grind is just so much more fun, sustainable, addicting, all of these things. Pez's grind, there is none, right? Because your cards in Pez, the reason for this, I say, is because they carry over. Your team from last year still exists. It will carry over. You have to unlock certain contracts to use these players again. But once you do that, you have the same team, right? Your Mbappe from last year is still there. So it doesn't matter. Your only grind is to get the contracts, which isn't much of a grind, and then you have them back, right? So they've got to reset. So maybe if it's like a cosmetic thing, but actually that would be kind of cool. Imagine you could carry over Future Star CDK design from last year, but his card is his gold card, and I'm just waiting for the Evos to upgrade that card into close to the card was last year, right? Maybe it's just cosmetic. That would be cool, I think, right? If it's purely cosmetic, you could definitely carry things over.
Yeah. I think so. I've got a free idea here for EA, actually, right? So we spoke earlier about having a sticker book of, like, your best card from our previous years. Can they give us a game mode where we can use cards from any of the previous FIFAs that we've put into our sticker book? We can create a squad. We can play a friendly with friends. We can play a cup against mates, right? That would be pretty cool. I don't think it's likely to happen because of, I think there's probably, like, database requirements. Like, they would have to store info on thousands and millions of cards, but that would be a really cool mode.
Yeah. I wonder how, like, I don't know how, like, licensing stuff works, because Pez clearly has found a way. Yeah, but they found a way, because, like, I'm using, like, on my bench, I have, like, a card from last year. It's like an Asian qualifying themed, but for 2023, like it says it on the card, right? So they somehow have carried that over, and it still exists in the new game, right? So I don't know how they would do it, but maybe there's a way. That would be really cool. That would be so cool. I'd love it. Because, yeah, those cards shouldn't be able to be used, obviously, in the regular game. But maybe in a fun thing like this, it would be really good. I don't know if you guys remember, because I played FIFA 09. I have the FUT founder tag and everything. I was there for that. Back in those days, they had this, like, a sticker book, basically. They had, like, a virtual album that you had to fill out. And I think I don't know if this is true, but I remember the reason being that they don't have that in there. Is it like, it's like some legality thing where it becomes too close to trading cards, and therefore that's why they don't call the cards, and they don't want to do that because then it has something to do with the store, and I don't know, these kinds of things. So maybe that would make it less possible. I know it's whatever the reason is that they don't call them cards is why we don't have the book anymore. I don't know if you guys know what I'm referencing, or maybe I'm just waffling. I don't know. Who knows? But they definitely don't call them cards, and I feel like there's a reason for that, and I think that's probably related to that. So maybe. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe it makes them into cards, because you can put them in a book. I don't know. I don't know. Anyways, got a little bit off, not really, sort of off tangent at the topic. I don't know. Anyways, but I had a great episode with you guys, and is there anything you guys would like to mention? We do have a question here, if you guys have time for that one, if you're interested.
Yep.
All right, well, let's get into it if you guys have nothing else to say. This is from Nick Steveholes on X. I like this guy. He's a really cool dude. He recently joined our Discord. He said he's never really done Discord, but he's in Discord now, and we've interacted with him on X for a long time. He says, will we ever get back to a FIFA/EAFC game where skill and ability are the main factors to winning and broken mechanics/AI influence? Constant pressure, overload, BS, auto-defending, get removed from competitive modes. So let me start with you, Dan. Will we ever get back to a FIFA where skill and ability are the main factors to winning? Or do you agree with the statement?
Yeah, I sort of agree with the statement. So, okay, look, I think a number of things, right? A lot of people say that EAFC or FIFA lacks a skill gap. I don't think that's necessarily true, right? I think better players, like, let's say, an elite player will 99 times out of 100 beat someone who's in Div 4, assuming you're not smurfing or anything, right? Let's say you're truly elite and you're truly Div 4, that elite player will beat that person 99 times out of 100. So I think there is a skill gap, right? The issue I have currently is, what are the game mechanics? What are the things in game that create that skill gap, right? At the moment, it's not about being able to pass well, being able to create space. It's just about, can you find that perfect angle for a Traveller until it got patched, or finesse, or can you do some skill move that glitches out the keeper or the defender? And that's the issue I have right now. His point about AI, it's like where it's currently very AI heavy. I do agree. I think that especially new gen FIFA does have a problem with players being too defensive, like there's not enough space. And I can't tell if it's defensive AI too strong or attacking AI is just rubbish. I personally think it's just that the attacking AI is rubbish. So I spoke a lot. Basically, in conclusion, I think that there is a skill gap in the game. I just think that what is creating that skill gap is not what should be creating that skill gap.
Fair. What about you, Martin? What are you saying, man?
I don't think it's going to ever change much again, to be honest, because I think EA, they need to find ways for less skillful players to be able to get wins, because nobody likes losing. And if you buy the game and suddenly you don't win any games and you get trashed every time you start a game, then what's going to end up happening is you're just going to give up on playing it, unless you're like really, really stubborn and you want to improve. But I think that's one of the reasons why EA have built in these mechanics and these crutches for people to, you know, win games or have an easier time playing. I don't abuse mechanics. Well, maybe the finesse shot, just because it's cool. But you see it a lot. You see, you can notice right away when you're gonna play someone that's mainly abusing mechanics versus somebody who actually plays the game. And in my case, it's annoying when you play against someone that abuses mechanics within the game, but it's also easier, I'd say, to play against them than to play against someone who really, you know, tries to play the game properly. So, yeah, I don't think we're ever going to go back to the good old days. That's my answer. What do you think, Kevin?
So I think, I don't know. So we always talk about like, every year the dreaded patch comes, the patch. We don't want that patch to happen because it ruins gameplay, right? And I think that there's a whole host, we get a few patches throughout the year, right? And including one last week, which we're now, I'm now complaining about. But I think that, I don't know, this is my theory. I don't know. This is a working theory. We're working on this one here. I think that, what happens is at the start of the game, we all say, wow, there's a skill gap. It's fun. We're all learning things. And part of our counter argument to that is, well, people haven't learned the meta yet, which is true, right? That does make the game a little less fun when you're playing against the meta constantly, right? But I also think that maybe a little bit of that is the fact that people start to learn the meta, and this is meant to help the more casual players and things like that compete again, because they take away things that are meta, and then the casual players then, I don't know. My point here is that the skill gap gets reduced a little bit with each one of these. Each one of these patches is meant to sort of bridge that skill gap, I guess, reduce it, I think. And I think to help, I don't want to say worse players, but players that maybe don't know what they're doing, you know what I mean? Like, they're more casual. They don't exactly know what they're doing. I think it's meant to help them, it's meant to help them. And maybe that's what a lot of, I don't know, the BS that we see is. I think that could be some of it. I think that's the AI influence and things like that. And also, they take away mechanics that are really good for us. Now, you could argue some of those are ratty, like the Travella and things like that. Maybe this is how the game was meant to be played. I don't know. But I feel like also throughout the year, as we go through, people get better teams. Better teams are more accessible. And then that defensive aid comes in. I think that the game becomes very defensive and things like that. So I honestly am not like crazy about them removing broken attacking mechanics. I feel like it is a game. We should be able to do crazy shit. It's a game, right? But also, that is certain ones, right? We don't want people spamming certain shot types from certain distances over and over and over. So I know that's not really answering the question, because the question is, will we ever get back to a point where that doesn't happen? My point is, I don't think so, because I think that whole patch thing that I mentioned is something that happens every single year. This is something that they do every year. They try and reduce the skill gap by adding a ton of BS and broken shit going on. And I think that's the only way also that people find to beat all of this like AI assistance and everything, is just doing broken shit. So that leads to more of that happening. I don't know. I think that skill and ability, so he asked that, is that, you know, will that be the main factor to winning in the future? I do think that it does take ability and skill to do a lot of broken stuff, but also that stuff isn't football, right? So I think that's kind of what he's getting to there. I don't know. So I think in older FIFAs, though, it did take more football IQ, I guess, to be better at the game, I think. So I don't know if we'll ever move back into that, to be honest. I think, as our friend TJ says, the Tekkenizing of FIFA, right? That's kind of, I think, the stage that we're in now. But yeah, that's what I have to say on that. I don't know if you guys want to touch on this anymore before we start to wrap things up. And speaking of TJ, I want to ask you about something, Martin. But yeah, you guys good or?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay. So guys, let's start off with you, Dan, because you are in. Before we get to the socials and all that stuff, tell me what is going on, man. You're in the Streamers World Cup. You're about to play, right? So people should watch you definitely today.
Yeah, that's right. So I know the pod won't come out till later, but as of now, I'll be playing in like half an hour. I'll be playing against Trajack, and then I'll be playing my two games. I'm using a full Australia team, and then I'll be playing against Alexian, who's using a full Greek team afterwards. But yes, so that'll be me for the next kind of next few hours.
Ooh, yeah. So this is the Streamers World Cup again. That like me, I'm in. John's in. Blimp is in. Brando's playing too. So a lot of cool people are in there. We were all picking non-top nine nations. I'm Japan. Look. I got this. I went go. And busted this out. We got the Japan flag ready to go. We're representing. So ready to bring it home for Asia, right? For Asian football. So I will be pulling for you, Dan, of course. But where can the people find you, dude?
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitch at DanDanMian, DanDanMian, with an underscore at the end.
Nice, yes, and you should definitely follow him, one of my favorite streamers. And Martin, where can the people... Oh, and also follow him on Twitter. Follow this guy on Twitter. But Martin, where can we find you, man?
You can find me on Twitter and on the NBAFT Discord at ChopSuiFC.
Can we listen to you anywhere else? Is there anywhere else we could hear from you?
I'm featured on a special episode of Foot Me, the Foot Me podcast. TJ, our friend, he has a new series of interview type of episodes that he has. And I know he had a Shaq attack on the first episode, and you know, I listened to that episode and I was like, okay, TJ, I want to be next, because part of me being in the FC community is you guys getting to know me a bit more, and I like that. And we got to talk a lot about me as a person, as a quote-unquote content creator, which I don't consider myself to be, and also as a FIFA player, but it's mostly personal stuff that I wanted to share, and I wanted you to know so you have a better idea of who I am as a person.
Nice. I'm very excited to listen. I heard the first episode with Shaq, and all I could think was good. TJ, where's the phone call, man? We need the... No, I'm just kidding. But I'm very excited to listen to you, of course. I love the Fut Me podcast. So if you guys don't know it, there you are. You should definitely check it out. But you could find me. I am at Kevin K, FUT. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Twitch. I will be playing versus Canada on Sunday in the Streamers
Let's
World
go
Cup.
Go against Japan. Canada.
Yes, Japan versus Canada at 9 p.m. At night. UK time, so that's 1 p.m. my time. So if you guys want to come out there, if you somehow got that as I stumbled over the time, that's where to find me. But yeah, and you can also find the podcast at your FUT podcast. Wait, did I say where to find Kevin K FUT? That's my tags. You can find the podcast at your FUT podcast. We're on Twitter. Come say hi to us. Leave us questions for future episodes. Please do that, guys. Go ahead and do that. Also, on that Twitter page, you can go over to the bio. In that bio is a link tree. If you click on the link tree, it'll take you to a whole host of links, including the links to all of our individual X profiles, as well as a link to the Discord. In that Discord, you can find all the cool people that we hang out with all the time. It's free. John said that there is a new paid $20 section. We'll give you a pile of shit. For you, of course. For you, with the blue tag that says for you and stars and stuff. So if you guys want to check that out, you can, of course.
And but yeah, guys, we really appreciate all you guys that listen to us. If you guys want to leave us a review, if your podcast platform allows you to, it would mean the world to us, of course. You can leave us a good one. We'll tell you how great you are. Leave us a shit one. We'll tell you to go fuck yourselves. It's up to you. It's a free, you know, you have the freedom to choose here, right? But I'm going to hand this over now to Martin to take us through to the end. Martin, if you could, my man.
Yes, sir. remember, when this silly game gets you down and you're opening your packs and packing nothing but Andre and Starke, just remember, it ain't nothing but a foot thing, baby. Peace.
Peace.
Sorry, John.
Join the movement.
Yes.